Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the specialness of this service. Thank you for the specialness of this place. We pray that you will speak to us now through your Holy Spirit. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, dear ones, those of you who are members of Church of the Way, you've been waiting 2 years and 2 months for this service, for this moment, and you've been incredibly patient and faithful, and I commend you for both of those things. I'd like to acknowledge Diane and Bob, who've been covering as church wardens with others, all the things that have been needed to be done here over a long period of time. I'm so grateful to you both and to everybody who's supported you for all that you've done. It's an extraordinary effort on your part. And I'd also like to acknowledge the three or four amigos who, in the face of the gap that you had, have stepped in to fill the breach. Sir Canon Alan Harrison, who's here, thank you so much for what you have done. He's brought with him the original certificate of license for this church from 1994. So do get a look at that at this service. It's a very historical moment to be showing that off. And then to Canon Bill Bielevelt and to Reverend, as he was Canon, Noel Oakey. I am so grateful for all that has happened, for the work that's been done in the emergency relief, in the op shop, in the services, and in things as exciting as your recent International Women's Day. That was such a good program that you put on here. Well done. Well done. I'd like to thank, too, the area dean, Canon James, and Reverend Gerlin, who's at the back, for whose service of recognition we had 2 weeks ago at the Mission to Seafarers in Bunbury. And thank you for those of you who were able to join him for that very special occasion. And I want to welcome Jackie and recognise her for all that she has been doing in this diocese and with the Maori community over the last 3+ years. And it's a real joy to have you here. Those of you who've already met Jackie or who know Jackie will know of her vivacity, of her excitement, of her joy, of her singing, and of her ability to speak two languages fluently. It was fascinating listening to the words of the hymns in Maori as well as English, because only 3 or 4 weeks ago I was in our Link Diocese in Africa, and there they were singing in English, Swahili, and Nandi. And most people were under the age of 50, were fluent in all three languages. So I'm so grateful to you for being willing to come to this church and serve it as stipended only part-time, but I know how much they've been looking forward to you coming and to having a priest of their own here. And you and the Filipino community in this church are a gift to the church and to all of us, and a reminder, as St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, as in the reading you just heard, that we are altogether citizens of heaven. Have you ever wondered what language they use in heaven? We who are English, because I'm also a foreigner here, often suppose it's English, but I'm not so sure. So the other day was very exciting because I had to send off, every 2 years, I have to get a security clearance in order, as a pilot, to go in the air side of any airport in Australia. And you will have seen the pilots and the ground staff, the crew, all have these red badges. It's called an ASIC. And it's a bit like the one that Gerland's got to get for going on the port time, which is a maritime one, which is an MSIC. Has your MSIC come yet, Gerland? Not yet. And it's really important because it allows him access at any time to the port, but it allows me access any time to any airfield. And in order to get it each 2 years, I have to produce my citizenship certificate for Australia, of which I'm very proud and grateful to have. It's a very important thing. And each baptized Christian has an even more important and significant status in God's eyes and for all eternity of being citizens of heaven. And part of Jackie's task is to keep reminding you that that's what you are, that you're here as citizens of heaven. And although you've waited a very long time for a new priest in charge, it has meant that dear Reverend Gerland hasn't been taken from you until after Jackie came. And I know he's going to continue to worship with you when he can. And I need you to continue to pray for him in his ministry and for Rossini and the family, because they'll be split up during the meantime, during the weeks when he's down in Bunbury. And therefore, it didn't seem that we were taking him from you when you had no one to step in and help you at Church of the Way. Paul was addressing a church in Philippi, a church that was the very first church in Europe. It was the first time the church had moved out of the Middle East. And he says to them, model yourselves on those who live as we do, and not on those who live as enemies, he says, of the cross. So my question for you, who do you model yourself on? Who in the past or even in the present is someone that you spot as being someone who's got a real Christian faith, who lives as a Christian? Is that the person that I model on? And if there isn't anybody, you need to go and talk to Reverend Jackie and find out who she would recommend you modelling yourselves on. Ultimately, we model ourselves on Jesus Christ. But Paul's saying here, follow the people who are like us to model yourselves on, to make sure that you truly are citizens of heaven. He said, eagerly await for our Saviour Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they may be like his glorious body. It's part of the work of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit, is to transform us to be citizens of heaven, to be the people who show what God is like to the world around us. And he goes on and says this lovely words, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. Just imagine them addressing Church of the Way like that. You, my sisters and brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. And he adds, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. It's a note of encouragement to keep going, to be the Christians, the citizens of heaven God is calling us to be. And Psalm 27 that we shared together, the psalmist is doing exactly the same thing. It's a triumphant song of confidence. He says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. The stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he goes on, I believe I will surely see the goodness of the Lord. There's an element of trust and of faith in the words of the psalmist. Which brings me to the reading about Abraham. As I mentioned, I have a pilot's license, and a number of years ago, the Aero Club in Canberra that I was a member of decided that they were going to take 5 planes and fly to Lake Mungo in outback New South Wales. It was my first experience of being that far outback in Australia and of flying to this particular place. And what astounded me when we got there was that you could see the stars down to the horizon. I have never seen so many stars in my life, except for once, when a long time ago, when I was also in Africa and went out back and again saw the same thing. It is amazing. We live in so many places with light pollution that we don't normally see the amount. But Abraham, I'm sure, was able to see the stars down to the horizon. And God says, I'm going to make your descendants like the number of these stars, if you could even count them. And that's a tricky moment for Abraham, because he remembers that Jesus, God had called him from his original home to come all this way. And he told him before that he was going to make his children like the sands of the sea or the stars of heaven. But it hasn't happened. And he still hasn't got a son. And how on earth is that going to take place? God says to him, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. your very great reward. You know, there are times when we get frightened. We get frightened. We don't know what's going to happen. We're worried about the future and sometimes about the present and sometimes about the past. And Abraham was worried. He was worried that the promise wouldn't come true, that his trust may have been misplaced. And yet God says to him, don't be afraid. God knows how we're feeling. He wants us to know that he is on our side. He's got our back. You know, that chapter is the crucial passage in the story of Abraham in the Old Testament. And it gets picked up by Paul much later in Galatians and Romans. And what Paul says is that the thing that really marks out a citizen of heaven, a thing that really marks out a Christian, is the fact that God will keep his promises. And he just relies on us to trust him. He doesn't do it because we trust him, but because of that trust, he enables things to happen. And Paul says, because Abraham believed God, he counted it to him as righteousness. It was his faith, not the fact that he was a biological descendant, or the Jews were a biological descendant, but it was their faith that made the difference, which meant that Gentile Christians could be followers just as much as Jewish Christians. And again, that element of citizenship, regardless of background or race or ethnicity, comes to the fore. And Abraham was faced with a situation of genuine barrenness. They didn't have a child. And there are situations that we face where it all seems impossible. And yet in these readings, we're just being encouraged to trust God, that he knows what's going on and that he can change things for the better. Which brings me to the gospel reading. Jesus is told that Herod's after him. He knows already that Herod's killed John the Baptist. This is not a foe to be trifled with. But you know, Jesus says, actually, God's got a plan for my life. And I don't have to worry about Herod or anyone else, because I've got a particular destiny. I'm going to Jerusalem, and Herod's not going to stop me. I'm going to go. God has already got something worked out for me. And Jerusalem, well, he laments what's going on there, because over centuries and generations, they've rejected the prophets that God has sent. You remember the story where the tenants just reject all the people that get sent. I'm sure Jerusalem was, and the land of Israel was, part of what was going on in Jesus' thinking in that story. And he acknowledges that one day they will notice that he's come, but it'll be too late. It'll be the second coming. Jesus, just like us at times, are faced with things that look as if everybody else is in control. Particularly at the moment in the world, it looks like lots of other people are claiming control for one reason or another. But ultimately, as Christians, with our citizenship in heaven, it's God who's control, and we do not have to fear. People in power still have to answer to God for what they do. You know, we have a mission task, and Jackie, like Canon Allen and Bill and Noel and Joe Sullivan, who I also should have mentioned, have been encouraging you as a church to be the people that God's calling us to be. And part of that is to share with other people what we have found in Jesus Christ, what we have found as being members of the church. It's not for us to keep. It's the whole purpose of our church is to be out there. So we've got Hope 25 coming up in a few weeks' time from Easter to Pentecost. And it's a time when all Anglican churches are sharing what our hope is in Jesus Christ. And I believe there are a lot of people who feel hopeless around us, who need to hear what you know and what you experience of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. So to finish, who are we modelling? Where is our trust? Is it in God, who honours that trust? And we are on a mission. And I am so looking forward to this next chapter as I have been so grateful for the chapters over the last 2 years and 2 months, to see what happens here with all of you and in this part of Mandurah. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.